Hello and welcome to the Times Aerospace weekly podcast for the aviation defence and the whole aerospace industry across the Middle East and Africa. I'm Alan Peaford. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you for the kind words we're getting from you about the podcast. Numbers of listeners are increasing every week, with thousands of you now accessing this podcast. And we've got a variety of things happening for you this week. Technology editor Steve Nichols has been busy. He was plugged into the FTE and Apex Virtual Expo and was engrossed by the overview from Qatar Airways chief Akbar Al-Bakr, and he'll be sharing the highlights of that later in the programme. He also met up with a French company which is delivering a portable in-flight entertainment system to Air Senegal. Another French company was also making the news this week. Anurada Dinapanre, a member of the African Aerospace Francophone team, was following Dassault Aviation as it rolled out its new 6X business jet. But before we get to all that, let's hear from Marcella Nethersoll at the Times Aerospace Newsroom for this week's industry headlines.
Hello, and here is this week's aviation news from across the Middle East and Africa. IATA has called on governments to add market stimulation measures to the support they are giving to keep aviation financially viable. They said such measures would encourage travel while systematic testing protocols enable a safe reopening of borders. Since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, governments have helped airlines survive the crisis with approximately $173 billion in various forms of financial support. IATA said more support will be needed in the form of financial stimulus, as many of the support packages are running out as industry losses continue to mount. Gulf Air has signed 5 agreements with a number of companies during an official visit to Israel. Gulf Air and El Al Airlines signed a comprehensive MOU, which sets the foundation to discuss potential joint codeshare operations between Manama and Tel Aviv. Gulf Air also reached an accord with TAL Aviation Group, Israel Aerospace Industries Aviation Group, QAS, and NewRES Israel. Stakeholders are considering a merger between Arik Air and Aero Contractors, 2 airlines under the management of AMCOM. The CEO of Aero Contractors, Captain Ado Sanusi, said that while the history and circumstances of both companies differ, the merge could be a possibility if the federal government could ensure the survival of the airlines. Etihad Airways is purchasing carbon offsets to completely neutralise the CO2 emissions of its flagship Greenliner, the 787-10 aircraft, for a full year of operations in 2021. The airline hopes to reduce CO2 emissions to 50% of 2019 levels by 2035 and to achieve full net zero emissions by 2050. Kenya Airways has started operating direct freighter services across southern Africa out of South Africa Airways hub Johannesburg OR Tambo International Airport. The move means the airline's traffic no longer needs to pass through Nairobi's Jomo Kenyatta hub when departing from Johannesburg. The airline said in a statement that it plans to operate directly from Johannesburg to Harare International, Lilongwe, Lusaka, Maputo and Dar es Salaam. Emirates has welcomed its 116th A380 as the first of 3 A380s to join its fleet in December 2020. The aircraft arrived in Dubai in the early hours of Saturday morning, powered by a blend of conventional jet fuel and sustainable aviation fuel. Oman Air has launched MySpace, which gives economy class passengers the opportunity to ensure the seat next to them is vacant. When guests check in online 48 hours before their departure, they can select their seats via an interactive seat map and choose the option to ensure at least one seat next to them is vacant. Sadly, another industry event has been postponed. The Middle East and North Africa Business Aviation Association announced this week that the region's business aviation platform, the MIBA Show, has been rescheduled and will now take place in December 2022 in Dubai. However, the defence industry will be pleased to hear that IDEX and NAVDEX have been confirmed to take place in Abu Dhabi in February 2021. Organisers of the exhibition said the event will see the participation of 5 new countries for the first time. These are Israel, Luxembourg, Macedonia, Portugal and Azerbaijan. And finally, staff working for the hygiene team at Istanbul Airport will themselves be feeling safe as well as keeping passengers safe, thanks to Kivan Aviation. The company has produced an antimicrobial and antibacterial uniforms for them, which consist of a tailor-made outfit of a shirt, trousers, jacket, waist bag and shoes. Istanbul Airport established a hygiene team which are on duty 24/7 for making conformity controls, reminding passengers not to sit too close to each other and keeping their distance in queues. Well, Alan, I'm glad you're a great distance from me. It's back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Ella. I think I could do with a suit like that. Something smart that stands out from the crowd. Well, indeed, that makes me think of Akbar Al-Bakr, the group CEO of Qatar Airways. Now, he was the star performer at the FTE Apex Virtual Expo, where he outlined his airline's performance through the pandemic. And our Steve Nichols was tuned in and very impressed.
Akbar Al-Bakr, Group CEO of Qatar Airways, was recently interviewed by BBC World's Aaron Hazelhurst during the FTE and Apex Virtual Expo. In the interview, Al-Bakr talked about what steps Qatar had taken to protect passengers and their business. He was first asked what Qatar had done in the early days of the COVID pandemic.
Airline just panicked and stopped flying. They didn't realize that they have passengers who are stranded. They didn't realize that there are passengers away from their loved ones. They didn't realize that there were people that were desperate in this pandemic to get home. And we wanted to step in and be at the time of difficulties, at the time of big challenge to these passengers, be their an airline that will serve them, look after them as we are doing in good times. We also wanted to be with them in bad times and continue our services. In this, we were very successful. And people realized that we are a very reliable an airline that they can depend upon to serve them and to take them to their loved ones back home. In this, we were very successful. We never reduced our destinations below 30, and we continue to do around 150 flights a week. We also did a lot of repatriation flights to take people back to their loved ones.
Aaron then went on to ask what Qatar had done to protect passengers in terms of its in-flight food and beverage service.
You know, there is always many ways to skin the cat. What we did is we wanted to still differentiate ourselves from anybody else if they were operating. So what we did is we started to pre-pack items. We started to put everything on the tray so that there is minimum interaction between the crew and the passengers. In addition to this, we also made sure that in economy class, we did nearly the same process so that everything that is packed is disposable, one-time use, individually packed, and served one time, so that also the crew don't have to keep on having close contact with the passengers, but without reducing the standards of the in-flight service and the quality of the product. We maintained the same quality of the product that we were giving, minus that we gave a single-use menu. And in the economy class, we took away the menu cards because, you know, these are things that it's trivial and the passengers wouldn't mind not having them. Exactly to make sure that the passengers don't get in any way contaminated from this terrible pandemic that we are facing.
Al-Bakr was then quizzed about how Qatar had responded to passengers who wanted refunds for flights they didn't want to take.
This has shown people that Qatar Airways is not about just extracting revenues in difficult times, taking advantage of people's predicament. What we did is we allowed people to change their bookings at no fee. We started to let people to even change the continent they want to go to. We allowed the people to either take the cash for their refunds. We gave 1.4 billion refunds to people in the first 2 months of the pandemic, whilst most of the airlines started walking away from people or leaving them stranded. Just to give you the figure, 600,000 refunds were given. 3,000 refunds are still pending. And these are because the customers have not approached us for those refunds. We have allowed them to take vouchers. We allowed them also to extend their tickets up to 2 years. So we have done everything to mitigate any anxiety that the customer will have, especially when suddenly the airports are closed or the airline has grounded their airplanes. This is the time when you really reflect the standards and the value of traveling on Qatar Airways. We took this as a big challenge. Yes, it put a lot of financial strain on an airline. But at the end of the day, when a customer buys a ticket on Qatar Airways, It is their money we hold. And if they decided, especially in a pandemic or in a situation which is beyond their control, it is the duty of the airline not to take advantage of those circumstances.
And finally, he ended on a positive note, saying that its plans for the FIFA World Cup were at an advanced stage.
The planning, other than the way of conveyance for people to come to my country, is being done by the Supreme Committee. But, of course, we have representatives on that Supreme Committee is responsible for preparation for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in my country. But one thing I can assure you, first and foremost, most of the infrastructure is ready, or ones that are not ready will be ready by the end of next year latest. In addition to this, all the plans and processes and systems are being put in place to give the spectators, the visitors, and the fans an experience that they will keep with them for a long time when they leave my country.
That was Akbar Al-Bakr at the FTE Apex Expo. Now, I know the MIBAR show has sadly become another of the pandemic's victims. Business aviation is one of the sectors that is enjoying a recovery, clearly outpacing the commercial air transport cousins. And now there's a new aircraft on the block. This week, we saw a historic moment for French business jet and fighter aircraft manufacturer Dassault Aviation with the rollout of the Falcon 6X business jet. Anurada Dinapanare was joining in the celebrations and is here now. Anurada, tell us all about it.
So the first e-rollout in the history of aviation represents a milestone for the group, as Eric Trappier, the CEO, said. And the premiere was quite a great moment, as you know how it goes at Dassault Aviation. It's quite another step in the group's quest for excellence, because that's to be at the cutting edge of innovation.
So I imagine Dassault CEO Eric Trappier was very upbeat about it all.
So you must imagine how happy they were, because there was much happiness despite the COVID context. He also explained that it was very difficult for the teams because they had to continue the program despite the first lockdown and now with the second lockdown still ongoing. So he said that they wanted to be on schedule because there was a program. So it was very important for the group to meet with the deadline. He said everybody has been very, very comprehensive. And he said that he got the support of all partners, clients, who there was much understanding on behalf of everybody. He also added that the 6X represents a major step forward for the large cabin business jet operators. I'm going to quote him. Its award-winning cabin is the tallest and widest in business aviation and provides levels of spaciousness, comfort, productivity, and safety that will set a new benchmark in the long-range segment.
Now, there have been problems before with the Silvercrest engine, of course, with what was then the 5X. So now I guess it's on to ground test, presumably, with the new engine in place.
The 6X is powered by the Pratt & Whitney Canada, the PW812D engine, and it sets new standards. And Mrs. Maria De La Posta, who is the president of Pratt & Whitney Canada since last year, said that Pratt & Whitney has completed ground and flight tests of the engine. And she also said that Pratt & Whitney, they feel very confident that all expectations will now be met. And as you were saying, the rollout will be followed now by the ground test program and the extensive systems checks to be performed before the maiden flight, which has been scheduled for early 2021. And the entry into service is going to be around 2022.
Well, that's not long to wait, is it? Well, Dassault has done very well in the Gulf in the past. Do you think we're going to see the 6X in the region?
I asked Eric Trappier that specific question, and he said that it's true that there are Falcons flying in the Middle East, and that the 6X, being the large cabin and a new segment, is going to be a very has good perspective. But he also insisted that he wants to be cautious because of the economic crisis and all that. But he thinks that there are good perspectives for the 6X in the Middle East. And perhaps also for Africa, but there it's going to be the business aviation segment is a bit slower. So he was rather positive on the Middle East market.
Well, hopefully at Dubai Air Show next year. Anurada, merci. Well, Steve Nichols was also meeting a French company, Moment. It's just landed an order from Air Senegal for its Flamingo box portable wireless IFE system. Steve spoke with Moment's business development director, Diodone Camate, and asked him, what exactly is a Flamingo box and how does it work?
Moment, a French company, has just landed an order from Air Senegal for its Flamingo box portable wireless IFE system. I spoke with Moment's business development director, Diodone Camate, and asked, what exactly is a Flamingo box and how does it work?
Flamingo box is that portable wireless in-flight entertainment system which allow people to browse trendy content from Hollywood or to independent producers directly from their personal device like smartphones, tablet or laptops, for example, directly from their browsers without any need to download any app.
And I understand that that's a portable device with a battery, so you have to just put it into the overhead locker and you don't have to worry about an STC.
Exactly. So we, with the Flamingo box, so we designed it to make it less life easier for airlines. So you just have to put it on. It can be run with batteries. The battery's lifetime is 15 hours non-stop running with over 100 people streaming exactly at the same time. So one box can, for example, cover an entire narrow body. And you have also the possibility, we've given the possibility for the airline to link it to the power system of the aircraft, the 28 VDC, so they could avoid maybe some complexity in terms of managing the battery. So we give the choice to the airlines. So either through batteries, very easy to set up, but no STC, and put it through the aircraft power system with a minor modification, but it's really up to the airline.
What's passenger feedback been like on the device?
Our device is used more than 10 million people per each month. So we've been rated 4.6 out of 5 for the entire people enjoying our devices every, our platform every day. And clients has been very, very happy so far because of the fact that you only need one single box to cover an entire narrow body, which makes life and the operation much more easier, and the fact also to have the that package with the portable device hardware, the content management from acquisition to the management of the content, and the assistance also we provide to our customers. That makes our relationship with customers very engaged, and so far they all seem happy, and we look forward to increase that database, obviously, but also make sure that the one we have today are satisfied every single day, and we work around the clock to make their life easier to be there for them.
Who's actually flying with the Flamingo product at the moment then?
So far, we've been flying with airlines in different parts of the world. It's been over 10 countries now. Among them, we can mention Air Belgium, for example, or Suriname Airways, Azerbaijan Airways. We also have a much more mature client, which has been from the beginning, like Air France as an example. But we do also have other clients in the other sectors, railways or maritime. As we're talking about Middle East, Africa, we just have a major signature to deploy for Air Senegal in Western Africa on their entire fleet as a good example in African area. In the Middle East, we talk with different airlines in the region, and hopefully we maybe some good news to come. You can cover just by one single device, you can cover an entire narrowbody. This is a major thing, so differentiator compared to what exists in the market. We also have that Hollywood approval for to stream their content directly from browser. We were actually one of the first to have that capability a few years back to allow those type of content to be streamed directly from customers, laptops, smartphones, or tablets without any need to download an app.
Well, that was Steve Nichols with Diodone Kamate from Momo. Well, for those of you fascinated by the future, make sure you download next week's program, as Steve's going to be hearing from Etihad's Linda Celestino about how travel will change in a post-COVID world. And we'll find out what innovations we're likely to see in the cabin, and how passengers' priorities will change. So there's that and a lot more besides. So until then, keep well. Goodbye.